Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's your host, Mr. FSP Vic. I'm in the building. Right now I'm riding solo, waiting for one of my co-hosts to call in, namely the ATM. And speak of the ATM, as soon as I punch in the number, he spits out cash, as he normally does when he bets me. You know, he can't help it but pay me. What's up, Jerry?
Pay you. Those days are over. I'm getting paid. That's my middle name. Get paid.
Well, Friday night, just got paid. Is that what you're doing?
I'm just about to take my next step closer to my baseball championship this week, taking another bite in the dust.
I'm coming on strong, Slim.
One week at a time. Yes, you're doing very well, but 2 weeks. In 2 weeks after this week, we'll meet, and you will go down, son. Beat you like I owned you. Beat you like you're my own son. How about that?
Oh, my gosh. Listen to all the talk from this guy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on today's show of Fantasy Sports and Politics, we will cover the NFL draft and its first three rounds. Also, we'll look at who is left out there that shouldn't be. One in particular, who actually just was selected by the Washington Redskins, is Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins. So, we actually discussed it, a situation such as this on our show a little while ago, if the Redskins drafted another quarterback even after they got RG3. And I was on NFL.com's message board, and they were discussing, well, Rex Grossman isn't going to be there for long, and Beck is on his way out. He's not even under contract.
Right.
So, this might be a good thing for the Redskins, going young and someone that's not as dynamic as RG3, but serviceable. I'll go that route. He's in the fold. Also, we're going to hear from Jerry on some players that he felt would have been drafted by now, but they're not. I'm going to give you a few as well. I wanted to start the show off with the Washington Nationals. If you call last week, I promised Black that I would let him have 30 minutes to talk about the Nationals. Look at him. The day he needs to talk about the Nationals, he's not here because Bryce Harper makes his long-awaited debut for the Washington Nationals today. Where's Black? Nowhere to be found. I don't know. We'll also discuss the NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs, they begin very shortly, and one of the heated rivalries of the past rears its ugly little head, the Heat and the Magic. Excuse me, the Heat and the Knicks.
Yeah, baby.
I figured as much. We'll hear from Scottie Pippen on what he thinks about Michael Jordan and his Bobcats. Go figure. Scottie Pippen has something to say about...
I got a four-letter word for that.
Well, I'm going to let you use it today.
Okay.
Also, we're going to get into a lot of different subject matters. We might be adding two shows to our lineup. One may or may not be with myself and my wife. It'll be a relationship show. I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see about it. I don't know. Also, we're going to have...
Whoa. Before you go any further, before you even delve into the next subject, yeah, run that back to me again, what this one of these shows may be?
Relationships.
Husband and
wife.
Who's going to be hosting this?
My wife and myself. If she, if she does it, I've been trying to get her to do a show by herself, but she won't do it. So I told her I'd go with her. We were supposed to start this Friday, but some stuff came up and it didn't happen, but it might be happening.
Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah, dude. Very. Very.
Okay. Okay.
And that may or may not be coming. And then we have a show with Max Williams. We'll get into that later once it becomes fruition. I wanted him to get a little a test drive with you, but can't just throw him in on your show. You got to approve it. So we'll discuss that as well.
Okay. Cause I didn't know what that was about. All of a sudden, that came about on a correspondence of yours. I'm saying, what's up with that? So.
Yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. So what we're going to do, because NFL is such a hot topic, and I know we can go on and on and on about it, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go over NBA playoffs. NBA playoffs. And once Black gets in, hopefully we'll let him talk, and we'll talk about Bryce Harper. But if he doesn't get in, then I'll just go over it briefly. So, I think that the NBA playoffs is going to be pretty interesting this year. I don't exactly know what's going to happen. I feel as though the Heat should do well, but they got a big test ahead of them. And I know Jerry is loving it because they get to play their or his New York Giants. Usually the Joker's on.
The Knicks.
I'm sorry. The New York Knicks. And usually the Joker's on the bandwagon with them, but that's not the case today. So we're just going to go with Jerry. But here's Dwayne Wade on his most memorable. I just lost sound. But are you kidding me? Oh, I love Blog Talk Radio so much. I just had the soundbite queued up. Well, Jerry, while I wait for that soundbite to come back, let's hear one of your favorite moments as to the Knicks and the Heat.
Are you asking me to give my favorite moment, or are you going to play something?
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for it to cue itself.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite moments, and a lot of your listeners will know about it, but it's when the Knicks and Pat Riley was a coach, and also when Jeff Van Gundy was a coach, when Alonzo Mourning happens to be a center from the Knicks, and they had gotten to a scuffle with him and Larry Johnson, who happened to be on the Knicks at the time, with Jeff Van Gundy.
I thought it was Oakley.
No.
Okay.
He got into a scuffle. It was Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, and Jeff Van Gundy jumps in and jumps on the leg of Alonzo Mourning. It was pretty crazy at the time. Allen Houston also, I can recall Allen Houston with a last-second shot to beat the Heat and eliminate them, if I'm not mistaken, from the playoffs. There's been a lot of things going on, a lot of physical play, especially when Pat Riley was the coach of the Knicks when they played the Miami Heat. A lot of physical play at that time. The Knicks were a very, very physical team when Pat Riley they had a reputation of being just short of thuggery. I hate to say it like that, but they had a reputation of being very physical and taking the physical side of the game to the limit. When Pat Riley, believe it or not, was the coach of the Knicks, so this has been a long storied rivalry, a very heated rivalry. And quite naturally, when Riley went to the Heat unceremoniously when he left the Knicks, it's carried on. So Pat Riley as the coach of the Knicks, and now Pat Riley as the coach and now president of the Miami Heat, has a lot to do with the story rivalry between the Knicks and the Miami Heat. I'm anxious to see I'm very anxious to see, because this is probably one of the better teams the Knicks have put together, quite naturally, against the Fab Three of Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and the She-Devil, LeBron James. So,
why is he the She-Devil? Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I don't like the guy. I've never liked the guy. I think he's a good player. And I've always said this, and I'll keep on saying it until he proves me different, and I'll eat my words. As long as he is in front, things are going his way. He's a front-running player. The Heat gets on, per se, not to paraphrase the Miami Heat, but I'll do that. The Heat gets on. The pressure gets on. LeBron James and the things that hang between his legs shrivel up.
Oh, my gosh. Too wild for me. Too much for TV. Well, here's the deal. I wanted to bring this up since you brought the issue up between Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning. The surprising thing about that whole scuffle was that they were two of the first picks of the Charlotte Hornets.
Right.
Back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, when they both went their separate ways, and Zoe went to the Heat and Larry Johnson went to the Knicks, I still think it was Charles Oakley, but you're the old guy. You have the old memory, so I guess you're right. You know, there might have been a little bit of bad blood from there. I know it was some hard fouling going on, but it might have been a little bit something extra behind that scuffle. But we recounted Jerry's most memorable moment. Let's hear Dwayne Wade.
Actually, one of my favorites when Riley, you know, went back to the Garden, and to see him get out on that court and celebrate the booze, it was kind of awesome.
So it was basically what he's saying is, when Riley went back there, they booed him, but he still got the W. I think I remember that first time that he did that when he left the Knicks. But we're going to bring in our other co-host, Black the Bookie, a.k.a. Mike Wright, and let him speak on his most memorable moment between the Knicks and the Heat.
What's up, Black, my man? What's up, Black?
Can you guys hear me? Can you see me on the phone?
I can finally, Vic, I don't know if you know or not, but on the Thursday show, Jeff and I were talking on the show, and Black was being the co-host, but he was being a co-host through the text on my phone because he called in several times and never showed up on my board. I couldn't bring him into the conversation, so he had to listen and correspond with me through the show, on the show through a text.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Sorry to hear that, my friend.
Am I clear? Can anybody hear me? Anybody hear me out there?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Stop knocking on Verizon before they cut your phone off. All right. I wanted to talk about your boys, the Nats, at the top of the show, but you weren't here. So,
he's here now?
He's here now. But let me hear his thoughts on the Knicks and the Heat rivalry, since they're going to play first in a couple of days.
Knicks and Heat? I don't have any memorable memories of Knicks and Heat.
Okay. Why? You just don't, or you just...
I just don't. What's the Heat history? Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, LeBron. I don't have any memorable moments of that series.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get to your baseball, since I'm on basketball, let's hear what Scottie Pippen has to say about his boy MJ and the Bobcats.
He knows, and the organization knows that, you know, they have a lot of work to do in going forward and making some of the right decisions in the players that they're selecting.
Basically, he's calling out his boy MJ, saying you got to select better players, and you know this. I mean, before this year, Elgin Baylor was supposedly the worst, you know, GM / administrator or executive that was a star in the league. Michael Jordan has surpassed that. And Paul Silas, even at the last game, he said, you know, I'm glad this wasn't my first job. And he, said, he even said, you know, that if it was his fault, you know, he would be stating it was his fault. But when you don't have good players, and this is what Paul Silas said. This isn't me. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he said, that, you know, if I had good players, then it would be a different story and I'd take all the blame. But, you know, you got to deal with what you have. So I found that very interesting. And now Scotty's calling them out. I know Jerry has a viewpoint on it. I'm going to let him talk about it. But first, I'm going to get Black.
I mean, you got to look at the history of Jordan. He was here in Washington. He jumped out there and reached Kwame Brown. You're very high on a guy named Ab Morrison. I mean, some guys are just not cut out to be executives. And Michael Jordan is definitely a prime example. He should be gone from Charlotte. You want to be an owner, go ahead and be an owner, but let basketball people, let scouts, let guys who actually study players, who've seen them in college, who've seen their rise, their strengths and weaknesses, let those guys handle those types of decisions. Mikey, just be an exec, and that's it.
Okay. Jerry?
Being a all-everything, all-world basketball player does not equate you to be an all-world basketball executive. Don't let your ego get in the way of letting people that know what the hell they're doing work for you. Just like take it from the Magic Man. Take it from somebody who's been successful in and out of sports. If he doesn't know, he has people that do know. I'm talking about Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan has not taken that. His ego, and I hate to say it, but his ego is so big that he thinks he's able to equate what he did on the basketball court into the boardroom, and it don't work that way, Mike. It doesn't work that way.
Did you hear what Larry Brown had to say about him?
I didn't quite. I don't need to. I don't need to. His team sucks. That's the four-letter word I want to use as five letters. But
okay.
His team sucks, and everything he's touched with basketball, and he's had a hand in, rather than let his people do his work, has sucked. So from Washington and now to Charlotte, they've sucked. So he's not a executive type in the basketball realm. He needs to just be a figurehead and hire some very smart people, some very smart experienced people to work for him. And a lot of things will run a lot better. And I'm going to go on a little bit here. Owners, owners who think they know more than people who've been experienced in doing their this type of work for years. And I hate to bash, but I'm going to bash a little bit. Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones. I'm trying to think. Stephen Ross, those are things. Those guys, right off the top of my head, are owners that should just take a back seat and let the football, basketball, or baseball people let them work for them, and you just sign the checks. That's basically what they should do. Otherwise, and their teams would flourish.
Now, let me throw in a quick misdirection. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But if you like fine ladies running track and field right now, ladies and gentlemen, on NBC4, track and field, the pin relays are on right now. Get a glimpse of these ladies running.
Oh,
just go
boy.
On NBC, because NBC4 isn't all the way in everywhere. It's got to go NBC. But okay. I see where you're distracted at. But, you know, I mean, you make a good point, Jerry.
And don't come down too bad on my boy, Jerry Jones. I know he's had some missteps. So far, this 2012 NFL draft, excellent selections at the first and third round.
Well, that's what I said. It was a good transition because we're about to get to that. Well, no, I promised you baseball. I promised you baseball. So I got to give you baseball. Here's the deal, young man.
I'm
Bryce
kicking
Harper,
ass.
Shut up, Jerry. Bryce Harper makes his long-awaited professional debut.
anxious.
And it's for good this time. It's not like he's getting put back down. What I've heard is Davey Johnson is going to play him in center field. I've already gone to Yahoo.
This is too early.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think this is a panic move. I believe, was it Zimmerman that got hurt?
Ryan Zimmerman.
One of the bats got hurt, and they're calling this guy up so quickly. This is a mistake right now. Might have a good debut, but I think this is too early to call him up.
Well, this is my question to you. Because the Nats are such on a – they're on a hot streak. They are just hot. They're looking like they belong in the the NL East, which is a tough division. And if they were probably in another division, you know, they would probably be leading the division.
Well, you know why, don't they?
Strong pitcher.
But the problem with the Nationals is they were having trouble scoring runs.
That's the worst thing because they're known for being able to put up runs.
Right. Their pitching is holding them up. They're having problems scoring runs.
Jason Worth isn't seemingly worth the money that they're paying, play on words. Zimmerman was their hot stick, along with who's the guy you tried to give me, Jerry? I can't remember the first baseman. Michael Morris is the he's a left fielder, and he's still on the DL.
He's a first baseman / left fielder. That's what he's listed in Yahoo.
But he actually plays the outfield more. But he's on the DL. And Sorensen, good God, he was on the show. I can't get his name right. Sorensen was he's on the DL and he's coming back. And they just put Brad Lidge on the DL. Yahoo has listed Bryce Harper already, and 64% of Yahoo already own him. That's pretty big. But Black, you're saying it's too early to bring him up. If David Johnson said he wanted him in center field, so if you go to center field, who do they put down at third base if Zimmerman is the person that is hurt?
I don't know who they're going to put down at third. This is just, I think it's too early a call. I mean, he's a Triple-A Syracuse. They called him up, make his debut tonight. Hopefully he has a nice debut, but I think this is a panic move by David Johnson. I mean, Zimmerman goes on the 15-day. Morris is still on the disabled list as well. There has to be another bat somewhere. Let this kid do what he does in AAA. Let him get better. He's not good. I understand the scout report on him. He wasn't good against lefties. I could be mistaken. It could be righties. But let this guy get a little bit more seasoning before you bring him up.
Okay. Well, I hope that he's all the hype, because he's supposed to be a big bat, and his defense is supposed to be the weak point for him.
He'll bat seventh in the lineup, and they'll play left field behind Strasburg.
Strasburg is a pitcher, Slim.
He'll play behind Strasburg in left field.
You got to spell it out for him, Black.
Shut up, Jerry. So let's go fantasy real quick. Jerry is currently winning his game again this week.
It's not going to be close.
Every game that Jerry has played, you know, he starts out really hot at the beginning of the week, and then towards the end, it becomes closer and closer. And this is why Jerry has been on such a I want to trade all these players.
No way.
Type deal, because he's scared. He's panicking.
There's no panic in my game. I'm telling you, there's no panic in my game. I'm trying to improve my team. I'm not afraid to put my team and my players. I'm always looking to make moves to improve my team. You guys think because I put some of these name players out there I'm not doing a smart thing by constantly trying to trade my players. I dropped a player that you told another guy was a smart move. It's not a smart move in my opinion, because the guy strikes out too much, so that's why I dropped him, Hunter Pence. That's why I dropped him, because he strikes out too much. I can pick somebody up that strikes out less, gives me more consistent at-bats, like the guy picked up John Jay, who's happens to be a very good outfielder and doesn't strike out half as much as Hunter Pence does. That's why I picked up John Jay and released Hunter Pence, because he strikes out too much. And God bless the person who took him, because he's going to know what I'm talking about.
Well, the thing is, Hunter Pence is the main bat for Philly until Ryan Howard and Chase Utley return after the All-Star game.
Maybe he has LeBron disease.
He
can't take the pressure.
Listen, if he had a little bit more help, he wouldn't be struggling to hit home runs and stuff like that, because he was actually brought in to protect Howard. And the problem is Jim Thome, Mayberry, and the other guys they brought in to sit in for Howard, they're not pulling their weight. And Hunter Pence is having to do a lot. Now, yes, he's striking out a lot right now, but give him a couple weeks once Howard comes back or Utley comes back, and there's more than just two bats in the lineup for Philly, because Philly already has the pitching. They just need their bats to show up.
Well, that's the same thing with a few teams, especially with Washington Nationals. So Washington Nationals have strong pitching, but they're struggling to score runs. So,
but it's going to take place. It's going to happen, and I hope things work out for them, because it's going to be a good thing for them, I should say.
So, by that time, I'll have a nice long lead up in first place. Okay.
I'm telling
you right now, Mr. Gardner, I'm going to kick your butt by at least 5 points.
We're going to play each other in a week or two.
I'm going to kick your butt at least 5 points. I've averaged at least 5 points each player I've played, each game I've had, each week, averaged 5 point lead. And I came from behind. In the beginning of this week, I didn't usually start out fast. In the beginning of the week, this guy I'm playing was leading me, and I came from behind because of my team. I have very good confidence in my team, and they're very consistent bats, and I'm looking for players that don't strike out a lot, which I'm trying to get away from that. So you can say what you want. You can do what you want, but you're going down in 2 weeks.
Please, please, please.
That's what you're going to say. Please, 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 please stop. I can't take it anymore.
well, you know, we're going to put something on it, so don't worry about it. That's right.
Nickname you the ATM.
For those that are interested, Bryce Harper at Syracuse hits 250 with a .333 on-base percentage and a .375 slugging percentage. He's up lately on 5-for-13 with his lone home run coming in the past 5 games. So we'll see what the kid does, but I still think it's too early.
Yeah, because that's not a good – those are average numbers in the big leagues, and if he's doing that in AAA, that's not going to translate to good news in the pros, in the big leagues. So we'll see, Mr. Harper. Maybe he was like, you know what, I'm tired of the Nationals doing this, because the Nationals – he's going to become a free agent in a year or two.
No. This is the development. The Nationals waited long enough before promoting Harper to ensure that they will maintain his rights for 6 full seasons beginning in 2013 before he becomes eligible for free agent.
Yeah, 2013 is next year, dude. That's what I'm saying. Next year he becomes a free agent. And he's only been there for, what, 2? So I don't know, unless the 6 years pop up at some other time, I'm not sure. When
no, the 6 years popped up. Now, if they would have started him at the beginning of the season, then he would have been a free agent. But they maintained his rights for 6 full seasons because they kept him down in AAA and all those places that long.
Okay.
It was something in the contract that said that he had to be out for a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
he's done that time now.
Yeah, it's been nothing but a business move. So, I get it. I understand. But let's move on to more business. And Jerry brought up Jerry Jones needs to stay out of the draft room and just pay the bills and pay the checks. I kind of agree because he's a Cowboy, but they made a big jump. They went from 14 to 6 to pick up Morris Claiborne. Now, they went 75 picks until they got their next pick, which is the longest stretch as well. But here's Claiborne on the phone call that he got from the Cowboys.
Once I got that call, it was like everything came back to me, all the hard work I put into it, all the time that I put into it, and just looking at my family, knowing that they're the biggest Cowboys fans ever, and just looking at their face, and it just made me tear up.
So this young man grew up a Cowboy fan, family grew up a Cowboy fan, drafted by his home team, well, not his home team, but his favorite team, has big expectations on him now. And I will say this, he's a very talented cornerback, but going against the big boys in the NFL, I don't think he's going to be able to do straight-up man-to-man like Rob Ryan wants him to do, because he's more of a trail cornerback in the sense of he'll trail you, and then once the ball's in the air, if it's short, he's going to take it. But if it's perfectly placed or if it's in front or whatever, he's just going to have to make the tackle. He's a very talented corner. He's not Patrick Peterson, not by a long shot. And not to mention he has a broken or he just had surgery on his wrist. And the news is that they're going to hold him out from all the mini camps and possibly a major portion of the preseason. So when he does play, he's not going to have his game legs, but he'll have plenty of time to study. Now, you know, I don't know if you buy into the Wonderlic as far as him being able to digest difficult information, but Rob Ryan has a difficult defense to the point where last year there was a lot of miscommunication on the field, which led to a lot of big plays against the Dallas Cowboy defense. Black, you are the resident Cowboy fan. I just want to know what you felt about this. And, you know, is it – I know you like the move, but losing those other picks, knowing you need more help, was it the best move?
Give it to him, Black.
We didn't – first off, we didn't lose a lot of picks. We gave up our first rounder and our second rounder, which was a steal for us because we thought we'd have to give up a second rounder or a third rounder next year as well. We didn't. So that was a great move by Jerry Jones. If you look at the draft grades, that's an excellent move in favor for the Cowboys. I do not agree with your assessment of Maurice Claiborne. Maurice Claiborne has a chance to be an elite quarterback in this league. He has first-round level talent. He's played in the SEC, which is basically minor leagues for the NFL. He played tough competition every week. So I don't even agree with your assessment right now.
You don't have to agree with my assessment, but...
Oh, boy, I see the animosity between the Cowboy and Redskins fan coming out here.
There's no animosity.
Well, let me put it this way. You gave him a chance to speak on it. I'm giving you my take on what you just said about Morris Claiborne.
Now, I sound like a little broke girl. I was going to let you talk. Go ahead.
I see a lot of Redskin hating here because the fact is I think this is an excellent move. It was an unexpected move for me. To see that the Cowboys would move up, but it was a damn good move, I think, on my opinion, that the Cowboys move up to get Morris Claiborne. I think this guy is an outstanding cornerback, and be able to translate from the college to the pro level with seamlessly. I think this guy is long, lean, and ready to play in the NFL, especially in the Cowboys scheme. Rob Ryan's going to be able to use his talents to the fullest. Morris Claiborne, he couldn't. Let me put it this way: in my opinion, he couldn't get into a better situation going playing for the Cowboys, especially for Rob Ryan in that defense.
Now, don't get me wrong. I believe he's in.
Yeah,
very-
no, we're getting you wrong because you're assessing the top cornerback in the draft. Did you give that type of assessment?
No, listen.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am serious because of this.
Oh, man.
Yes, he
did. Now, had they made that move to pass to snatch the safety from Alabama, then I would have been like, well, Jerry's up his old tricks again. I don't know who's in his ear because you don't move up to five to snatch a safety left to Sean Taylor. But this is an excellent move by the Cowboys.
Now, look. Don't
and this is from outside looking in. I'm not even being biased. This is an excellent move.
You sound like you got a little haterade in you. I'm just saying.
There's no haterade. If you look at what everybody did in the business, the Giants, they got a steal in David Wilson at that last part of the draft.
Yes,
everybody made moves in the NFC East.
Well, now, I want to say this, too, before we go any further, that if you go back to our last couple weeks' shows where we did our mock draft, a lot of players got picked where we said they would get picked, just not by the team. Some of them were actually picked by the team. We saw that the Stanford tackle and guard would fall. They did. We predicted, or I stated, you guys vehemently disagreed with me, that Kendall Wright would be a first-round draft pick. He was. I also said that, oh, my gosh, I forgot. It was a couple other things I stated that, and we all stated, I just want to point that out, that came to fruition. So we know a little bit about what we're talking about. I just want to put that out there. As far as this Claiborne issue goes, yes,
no issue.
There is no issue.
No issue.
Oh, my God.
There's no issue.
I'm about to mute both of y'all. What I'm saying is that Claiborne, he's a very talented cornerback. But his game is going to get tested. It's really going to get tested in that defense as well as in the NFC East.
Well, he's a rookie. He's going to get tested. I mean, that goes without saying.
I understand that, but it's going to be tested more often than some others. Such as my guy in Janoris Jenkins, he only real test he's going to face is when they play San Francisco, because he's got Courtland Finnegan on one side, they got another cornerback out there, and they're in the NFC West. Okay, he don't have to face Larry Fitzgerald because that's going to be Courtland Finnegan. He's going to have to face Michael Floyd, and Floyd isn't that beast just yet. He's going to get there, but what I'm saying is the constant gameplay, he's going to be tested by the offenses in the NFC East a lot. But
if you're a rookie, I don't care what position you are on the defense, if you're a rookie, the other offense, the opposing offense, is going to test you. I don't care position it's going to be. They're going to get tested. Even if you have a supposedly shut down corner on one side, or you got a dynamite defensive end on one side and you're on the opposite side, you are going to get tested because you are a rookie. You're an unknown commodity. You don't know the league. They don't know you, so they're going to test you to see what you're about. So he's going to get tested one way or the other, regardless of what position it is. So,
you're right.
But
you're right.
I'm saying this guy is going to come up and be the goods on getting tested. He's that good.
This guy came out of the Mountain West Conference or something.
Yeah,
I'm
not a Cowboy fan, and I this was a hell of a move by Jerry Jones to jump up there. I didn't see it coming, and probably a lot of other teams didn't see it coming, especially the Tampa Bay Bucks. Or
correct.
I'm trying to think, that didn't see it coming, because I think that's why they moved down. Once they couldn't get Trent Richards, and they moved down so they could get Morris Claiborne, and they moved down to seven. Dallas Cowboys jumped up and talked to the Rams, made a deal with the Rams, and they jumped in to take the Morris Claiborne. I mean, it was a hell of a swoop move by the Cowboys.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but my bone of contention is this. And you guys are probably going to
disagree with me. Your RG3 contention is?
Listen. What I'm saying is this. Y'all are going to disagree with me.
Absolutely.
But I equate him to Asante Samuel.
Not even close.
Listen. I'm about to tell you why. Asante Samuel is a very good zone coverage cornerback.
That morphine is a hell of a drug, isn't it?
But you put him in man-to-man, and he's good, but he's just not that elite. And that's why I see Claiborne. I see him being very good at the pro level, man-to-man, but exceptional in zone. And the problem is the Cowboys don't play a lot of zone. So that's what I feel on that situation. I might be wrong. I might be wrong.
You are wrong. You are wrong.
Silence is golden. Be gold. Now, let's move on. You're such a hater.
You sound like the hater. I can't believe that you think that's not a good move for the Cowboys. I can't believe
it. No. I didn't say it wasn't a good move. I didn't say that. What I said was, I believe that Claiborne is a very talented cornerback. He probably is the best cornerback. Well, he is the best cornerback in this crop. But he has some holes in his game that he's going to work on with Rob Ryan, but he's just not the shutdown corner. He's not a shutdown corner. And you move up like that to get a shutdown corner. He's not. That's my whole point. That he's very good, but he's not a Champ Bailey. He's not a Darrell Revis. He's not a who else is considered a shutdown corner? Not that many people. You know, he's not a Deion Sanders. He's not even better than last year's prospect, Patrick Peterson. We can agree on that. Can we agree on that?
We can agree on that, because I want you to take me back to the drafts where Darrell Revis got drafted and all these guys that you're naming. Tell me what they said that they were shut down corners coming out as well.
Darrell Revis was recognized as that when he came out, as a shutdown corner, and he proved that he was a shutdown corner.
Well, let me put it this way. All he has to prove on November 22nd and December 30th that he can shut down some wide receivers. That's when the Redskins meet the Dallas Cowboys, November 22nd and December 30th. And you'll see how good or bad you think he is.
No, how about you start with game one against the Giants, the Super Bowl defending champions? Let's go there first.
No, that won't be a problem. That won't be a problem.
Okay.
That won't be a problem.
Okay.
This guy, because the fact is this guy is in an ideal situation. I'm telling you, I know Black will back me up. This guy is the real deal. He wouldn't have gone. The Cowboys wouldn't have gone and picked him up like this. Every expert except the so-called Mr. Vic Gardner thinks that what the Cowboys did was a good move, and this guy is an absolutely stud.
I didn't say it wasn't a good move.
He's an absolute stud, and fit well into Rob Ryan's defense in the backfield. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that the homer of Mr. Gardner, Redskins, jumps on and says this guy's not as good as people think he is.
He's
totally shocked.
He's not a shutdown corner. He's not. That's just my opinion. Time will tell. He's a very good corner, but not a shutdown corner. But let's move on to someone that also is supposed to be the next best thing. Not Brock Lesnar, but Andrew Luck.
I think big shoes may be an understatement. You know, what he did is obviously legendary. You know, for this city, for the state, really. You know, and I know if I woke up every morning trying to compare myself to Peyton, I think I'd go crazy. You know, it's nigh impossible. And I realize that. So I'm gonna go out there and do the best I can. I'll put my best foot forward. And if one day I can be mentioned alongside Peyton, you know, in quarterback lore, it'd be a football dream come true. But until then, I'll try to do my best and not get worried about, you know, the comparisons.
Bull.
it
sounded good, but you know that's not going to be the case once he steps on the field. He's going to feel the pressure.
Well,
I have to applaud what Indianapolis has done. I can't even hate on Andrew Luck.
picking up Kobe Fleener in the second round, and also picking up Dwayne Allen in the third. Excellent moves. This is going to help the young guy out. And Indianapolis is having a good draft so far.
I totally agree with you on that. I mean, what's the best thing to do for Andrew Luck, Jerry? And we've said it many, many times, and any football person knows, you get him a tight end that's good.
They got him
too. You get him a tight end that he played 4 years of football with, that knows him. Well, 3 years, because I believe the tight end was a junior. But it's his favorite target. I mean, and you put him in a system where you got a blocking tight end and you got your pass receiving tight end. I mean, they just instantly replaced Dallas Clark, who was Manning's bestie, with Andrew Luck's bestie, his college tight end. I mean, I thought it was a brilliant move. I think that this young GM for the Colts is building the team right. Now, here's the one thing that I do have a problem with, though. They're putting so much stock in the skill position right now in Indianapolis. They need to fix their defense. Their defense is old, and they need to, if they're going to upgrade that offensive line, do it. But they need to get some defensive help, and they need it quickly. That's just my only criticism. The only criticism I have of the Colts and their draft this year.
Well, the draft isn't over yet, so let's see what they do fourth through seventh round. They might pick up all defense. I'm just upset that my man Jacob Sammy might not see the field now.
Well, he will, because, you know, the kid out of, I think it's Montana State, the tight end out of Clemson. They got the one out of Clemson, right?
Yeah, the one.
Or the Montana State. Huh?
Yeah, the tight end from Clemson, Dwayne Allen.
Who's another pass-catching tight end, but he's slower. So they're going to use him a lot more.
Yeah, well, like I said, when this came first to light and he trailblazed another way of the offense operates, I'm talking about the Bill Belichick, when he first drafted the two tight ends, Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski, I had said that this is going to be the wave of the future. Two tight end sets, two pass-catching tight ends, and now everybody, a lot of people are doing this thing, getting these tight ends with a quarterback that can get the ball to them, a young quarterback. I mean, Tom Brady's not a young quarterback, but these two tight ends that they got them are almost, I would say, clones of the type of tight ends that the Patriots have right now. One big strapping tight end like Gronkowski is Allen, and the other one is a slim, speedy type tight end with a lot more flexibility in the offense, like Aaron Hernandez and Kobe Fiener. So it's a copycat league, and I think Indianapolis is copying the Patriots in that way. Now we'll see what happens if they decide to do some defensive work in these later rounds to shore up a small type of Bill Polian defense that like they used to have to get some big bruisers like Pagano wants now.
Okay. Man, it is something that might turn out to be very good, but I think they need to really focus on defense. That's just my opinion. I want to transition because two things. I want to get your opinion real quick, Jerry, on what your new team, the Texans, have done. They went out and they got – oh, by the way, best move of the draft so far other than that, my boy going – Alshon Jeffrey's going to Chicago. No pressure. Brandon Marshall and all that up there, that kid will have plenty of time to develop. So I want to say kudos to the Chicago Bears on that move there. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the Texans getting merciless.
Oh, I love that move. I absolutely love Whitney Merciless. Merciless. Remember that name, because he's going to wreak havoc against the offenses. He's going to show them no mercy.
He will.
No,
coming out
no mercy, Merciless.
Also, they went out and got a nice receiver, a decent receiver, speedy receiver, out of LSU. The only problem is the kid isn't, you know, that well polished. And he doesn't look too fast. But, you know, then again, he doesn't have to be fast. He just has to catch the ball with Andre Johnson on the other side. So tell me a little bit about your Texans and their picks real quick.
Well, like we just talked about the one from Whitney Merciless. I love that pick. That's going to help take away, add to the Mario Williams loss. I'm not saying he's going to be in Mario Williams, but it'll help because he's a nice steal. I also have to give kudos to the Baltimore before I transition over to the Texans. They picked up with Courtney Upshaw in the second round, which I think is an absolute steal. I'm surprised. And he was upset in the green room because no one picked him up in the supposedly he was a mess because no one picked him up in the first round and he had to come back the second day. Luckily, fortunately for him, that Baltimore picked him up early in the second round so he didn't have to suffer through that.
Yeah, and he's going to get tutored by Sugar Ray Suggs because he played both positions.
You really don't have to commend Baltimore. They do this type of job
every year.
Right. You're right, Black, but I'm just saying I think some teams and you know, these guys, a lot of these guys that get picked that don't get picked in the first round, or maybe they think they don't get picked in the second round or get picked in the later rounds, hold that grudge against teams that they think should have picked them or the rest of the league, and they wreak havoc or they make them pay. And I think this guy Upshaw is going to make these teams that didn't pick them, all these teams that decided to let him go, pay. And I guess that's true. He'd go into probably one of the best situations to get tutored on how to play defense in the National Football League in the Baltimore Ravens. They have a very strong locker room led by Ray Lewis and company, and Ed Reed. I mean, good things come. Good things come to those who wait, because he waited until getting picked in the second round, and I think he got into an ideal position.
Yeah, he's going to get paid. He won't get first round money. He's going to get paid. He's going to have an opportunity to play, but he's going to have an opportunity to learn from those guys on that defensive side of the ball. You know, Ray Lewis doesn't have that long left in the NFL, even though he plays like he does. They're always looking for another outside linebacker / DN / tackle, which he played all the way through until he went to Alabama. He played DN, so he's 270. You know, Kruger's okay, but I think Upshaw is going to be better. All they got to do is point him in one direction, and he's going to go. So I think it's a very good move. Ozzie Newsome has been one of the best GMs. So I honestly, when he retires from this executive part, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame again, but this time as an executive, because they retool and retool and retool. He's one of the best GMs in the NFL. So, you know, that's a good point. But right now we're going to get commercial break.
Hold. But Jerry, let me get your thoughts on the rest of the Texans pick. Tell me a little bit about Devier Posey, the wide receiver from Ohio State that you got in the third round.
Off
Miami.
I like, he's a big body receiver. He's 6'1", 211. I like the kid.
Hand problems, though.
Yes, the problem is I don't know how tough he is going over the middle or being involved in a toughness game. I know they're trying to get rid of Jacoby Jones, trying to trade him. They're not able to trade him. I think that he may get released because that was one of the problems with Jacoby Jones. They need a reliable receiver that's got some speed to him on the other side. I think this guy can help out. He can get tutored just because he's going to where an all-pro wide receiver is. And all you got to do is emulate or see how this guy, Andre Johnson, goes about his thing, and he can pick up pointers and work ethic. I'm not saying this guy doesn't, but he can pick up work ethic from Andre Johnson. I think it's a good move. I like this kid. I just haven't seen a lot of tape on him. From what I understand, he's a solid route runner, but his hands. Yeah. That's the problem, his hands. So.
Yeah. And at being a receiver,
what about Brandon Brooks, the guard from Miami of Ohio?
I don't know too much about him, man. I don't know too much about him. I know they need they lost guys on the offensive line, so any offensive help that offensive line help they got, I'm pretty sure this guy, from what I understand, he'll fit into the zone blocking scheme. That's about the only thing I can tell you from this guy. He'll fit into the zone blocking scheme, which is key for their prime time running backs. So
yeah, because they need to retool that offensive line since they lost the entire right half.
Right.
But we got to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jerry's old team, the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase. Hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos. Starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there. Be there. Be there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. I am your host. My two co-hosts for today are Jerry ATM Money Taylor, as well as Black the Bookie, a.k.a. Mike Wright. And we've been talking about baseball, basketball. We're now in the NFL draft. And we're going to dive into what's been happening in the NFL draft. But I want to get some feedback real quick on Jerry's ex-team, the Jets. And how did this young man drop so far that the Jets got him in the second round? I'm talking about Mr. Stephen Hill. I know he went to Georgia Tech. I understand that he only
took
49.
That's the guy you were hyping up, wasn't it? Isn't this the guy that you were hyping up?
Well, I wasn't hyping him up. I just said he was a good guy. I didn't say I thought he was going to go in the first round. I did, but I also told you that Kendall Wright was, and Kendall Wright did as well. I mean, there was a surprise wide receiver to go in the first round, but let's not get into that. And Quick went before this guy. It was a surprise that the Rams picked Quick, but it fell in line with what the Jets needed at the wide receiver spot, a tall receiver with speed who can run block and catch the ball. And if he does turn out to be half as good as Calvin Johnson, it's a pretty good steal for them, in my opinion. He was excited, and I think that was a good move. But let's talk about their first pick, Mr. Copels. Here's Rex Ryan, sexy Rexy, on, Quentin Copels.
Old, loving sexy Rexy.
Who dropped 90 pounds, by the way. He drops all this weight in the offseason but picks it back up. He's going to have a heart attack. He needs to watch it. But here's Rex Ryan on Copels getting drafted by his Jets.
Went through all the D-line drills, and he wasn't even winded and all that. I'm just like, well, let's see him compete, you know, through the linebacker drills and see if we can't get him gassed and all that, doing drills he's not accustomed to, and let's see how he reacts. Well, he went through there like, you know, like he was a DB or something. And at the end of it, you know, I turned over Jay Mandalisi, our scout. You know, we're standing there, what do you think? I go, I think we just made this guy a lot of money.
So when you look at it like that, it becomes, okay, there was a lot of negativity about this kid. You know, whether he was, not negativity, skepticism, you know, about his work ethic and stuff like that. I think he's a very good pick for the Jets. And I think they did a good job thus far. Well, Jerry's laughing, of course. So let's hear what Mr. Taylor has to say about his former team. And let's get a feedback from you, Mr. Taylor.
Now, let me go this route. Now, they picked two players that I would have never even come close to picking. I wouldn't say never, but... Mr. Quentin Copels, workout warrior, looks good in shorts or whatever, He's talking about he didn't get winded in different drills and different position drills, and he looked good. Mr. Adonis in the first round. That reminds me of another player that they drafted in the first round. Same type of mindset that the coach and the upper management thought this guy was I wouldn't say a steal, but they got a gem in the first round. I'm talking about one Mr. Vernon Golston. And how'd that work out?
For them, but Vernon's beasting out in his team he's on now.
Who, Vernon Golston?
Yeah.
Okay. Where's he at now?
I believe he's either in – no. Did he go to Buffalo? He either went to Buffalo or he went to Jacksonville, somewhere like that. But I know he was having a good season.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't like this pick. If you have to question the guy's worth ethic, I mean, he looks I saw the same type of look on this guy that I saw when I saw Vernon Golston getting drafted. I don't like this pick. I don't think too much of this pick. I don't think too much of the next pick, Stephen Hill. I definitely didn't like them and taking him in the second round. I see busts on both of these guys. Who's going to get him the football? Who's going to get him the football?
Fanchase can get him the ball.
Who's going to get him? Do not listen to my say. Who is going to get him the football? One of the worst percentage guys in completions in the NFL is Mark Sanchez. Who's going to get him the football? He's going to be used mainly in blocking because they're going to be running the ball a lot. And when the time comes to pass the ball, who's going to pass the ball? Is it going to be Tim Tebow or is it going to be Mark Sanchez? Because they have a two-headed monster back in the quarterback position. That's the reason why I left this organization, because they don't know what the they're doing.
I did not meet him, ladies and gentlemen. He censored himself. Thank you very much. Wow. Oh,
I don't like. I don't like.
Since you're so down on these first two picks, what did you think about the third round pick?
You know
what? Mario Davis, the linebacker from Arkansas State.
They need help on the defensive side. They need help on a pass rusher. I'm not too up on this guy. If he's a pass rushing linebacker, it's only going to help, because that's the main ingredient that's hurting the Jets on defense is a solid pass rusher. I don't care where they get it from, but they need solid pass rush, because they've gotten burnt by that over and over again. You can only cover guys for so long before you're going to get burnt by that. And you need a solid pass rush, and Jets are one of the teams for the last 2 years, two seasons, that haven't had one, and it showed up. So,
well, I mean, don't sound like you have bitter grapes versus the Jets, does it?
No.
But
it wouldn't make a difference whether I'm with another team or not. This is a totally dysfunctional organization right now. I have no idea why they would pick. I have an idea, but I don't think Stephen Hill is worth a second round pick, in my opinion. I wouldn't have picked him in the second round. I would have gone somewhere else. Maybe a pass rusher, because you need a pass rusher in the worst way. If you're going to be ground and pound, you're going to be giving up the ball because you're not going to be passing the ball that much, even though you're going to be running.
Well, that's why they got Copels. That's why they got Copels.
I don't believe. Well, that's the reason why they got Vernon Golston before, too, and how'd that work out? I'm telling you, this guy's got bust written all over him. He's got bust written all over him. He may be in a different organization, but not in this scheme. He's got bust written all over him.
Okay. I mean, I ain't going to hate on you. You know, hold your Jimmy Jam. It's all good. Don't get mad at me.
All right, we went through my team. We went through Jerry's team. Now it's time for the Redskins to step to the plate.
Absolutely.
Not a problem.
The selection of Robert Griffin, in my opinion,
probably the best draft pick you've ever made. Been on Robert Griffin since high school, since he got to Baylor. He's an excellent, excellent guy. Very, very smart decision by the Redskins to move up, trade most of their picks to grab this guy. In my opinion, he is a franchise quarterback. He is a franchise type of quarterback. But I'm kind of scratching my head at the third round pick that the Redskins made.
Well,
tell me a little bit about Josh Laribis, the guy from SMU.
Okay, they got an offensive guard that is actually, what was it, like 315 pounds?
6'1", 311.
Okay, 311. They got a guy that's going to be mobile. He's going to fit in because Will Montgomery is actually the center, but they're going to move Will Montgomery, I believe, to left guard and put this kid in at right guard, mainly because the other center did such a good job last season in, you know, protection and stuff like that. I mean, Rex was terrible. I mean, he made some bad decisions, but, you know, the line play was pretty decent. Now, this kid is supposed to be moving. They're going to do a lot of cut blocking, and that's what they use. They want linemen that can move, and he can move. Pass protection, being 6'1", RG3 is not that tall. So his interior line is going to be low enough that he's going to be able to sit in that pocket without having to take all seven-step drops. So the interior isn't that tall. It's going to be good for him. His tackles, Brown and Williams, they're your tall guys. And, you know, it is what it is. It's a good pick. But the most intriguing pick, it really isn't that intriguing, but it's a good pick in my opinion, is following that up with their fourth-round pick with Kirk Cousins out of Michigan State. It isn't a bad move. It isn't a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
It's insurance, just in case, you know, there's an issue that happens with RG3. It signals the end of the Beck experiment. Rex Grossman is on a very short leash, in my opinion, because after Grossman teach or RG3 learns the offense, there's really not going to be a need for Rex Grossman because they're going to have a younger, more accurate quarterback in Kirk Cousins to back up, if not start, in the event that something happens to RG3. I'm going to use something that Polian said about Wilson, the quarterback out of Michigan. He said that Wilson is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's a number two. It's going to be good for six games, and you're going to get maybe a 4-2 record out of those six games. Very intelligent quarterback, can do everything, but his height's an issue, of course. But again, very serviceable. Cousins, to me, is the same type of quarterback. Maybe not the, I'm going to start 16 games for you, but if you need me, I'm going to do an adequate job, and I'm going to make some money, you know, on another team. You know, you might trade me after a couple years, but you're going to use me for what I'm worth now. So I got that. I think Kirk Cousins is a very good pick for them. And they're coming up on their fifth-round pick in a few minutes because the Buccaneers are on the clock right now. And the Redskins also went and got an outside linebacker, if I'm not mistaken, because they traded back into the fourth round with the Steelers. And they got the outside linebacker from Texas. Now, that was the first player from the University of Texas taken.
All right.
That's amazing.
Keyshawn Martin.
Yeah.
No,
Florida,
not Keenan Robinson, I'm sorry.
Yes. Florida, Michigan, Ohio State had the receiver. But Florida, Michigan, Florida State and Miami didn't have one player taken. In Texas, I should say. Didn't have one player taken until then. And that wasn't even the best outside linebacker on the board, but the Redskins picked him. And I think they're going to move him to the inside because he's not going to replace Arakpo. He's not going to replace Kerrigan. So they're getting him ready and primed to play middle linebacker when, you know, London Fletcher actually steps down and to challenge Rocky McIntosh, who's a former outside linebacker, who now plays inside linebacker. So I think their next pick, in my opinion, should be a safety because there was a run on the very good safeties. But they need another safety back there to help out Austin Itagwe. So the Skins have done a decent job. I think they went and got the best available player on the board when they got Cousins. But I see them in need of shoring up that secondary and linebacker core and maybe getting another lineman or two. I don't see too many outstanding receivers left because right now they get to all the short receivers.
The Texans,
we're going to talk about that right now. We're going to get to that.
The Texans picked up a second receiver in the fourth round. Would be, because I just had his name here, Keyshawn. Where the heck is his name at? Hold on a minute.
I believe it was a kid from LSU, right?
No, Keyshawn Martin from Michigan State. They picked him up in.
Oh yes, they got Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins' favorite target.
Right. So they picked him up in the late part of the fourth round. And it seems like he's 5'11", 192. He's a speedy receiver. That likes to operate in space, so he doesn't like to get
jammed up or nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
which is fine. I mean, you need a slot receiver that can create in space. So
right.
You'll see what happens. I mean, the Buccaneers just picked up Najee Good, inside linebacker out of West Virginia. So that's a good pick. The Redskins have the next pick in the fifth round, but overall. You know, I got to see who they pick in this round to give you my grade on them. I think RG3 is going to be the quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years, provided he stays healthy. I think he's going to save Shanahan's job.
That's an odd pick, though, going with Kirk Cousins after you just drafted your franchise quarterback.
I know.
There was no other player in the fourth round.
I think they got him as insurance, you know, to be a backup policy. Just in case something happens to RG3 because Rex Grossman isn't going to be there forever.
But Grossman
and, you know,
is there for this season.
He is, but I think he's not going to be there after this season. He's going to be there to teach RG3 and Cousins the system. And then Cousins is going to be the primary backup for RG3. I think they felt, the Redskins that is, felt that, you know, it was better to get a young quarterback than to go in and get a veteran quarterback to try to teach them the system. Get them in now so that they can grow together. And if something does happen, RG3 will have a serviceable backup. And they don't have to go out of the organization to pick up another quarterback.
Well, this question, go ahead, Black, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I just found that odd that they would pick up Cousins with all the people.
Well,
right.
My question to you then, Mr. Gardner, is this. You said it several times just in case something happens to RG3. Do you think Mr. Griffin needs to put some meat on his bones to avoid the Michael Vick syndrome, getting hit and not being able to take a hit in the NFL?
Well, he already did. He put on 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He put on 10 pounds. And I believe he's, what, 215 now? Something like that, 215, 220.
Okay.
Which is a good size for him because he maintained his speed. But I think he's only like 6'2", 6'3", something like that.
No, he's about 6'1", 6'2", somewhere around there.
Yeah, so that's a okay frame. But being a quarterback in the NFL, knowing that you're a rollout quarterback and that teams know you're going to run and you can run, and knowing that they're going to bootleg you a lot, he's going to take a lot of hits. And he's going to run because it's going to be like, okay, well, that outside linebacker, whether it's a boot left or boot right, they're going to spy him. And not saying that the outside linebackers are slow or can't get to him, but he's going to see a lot of people in his face. A lot.
Well, I believe he's going to see a lot of people in his face, but I beg to differ on one point. I know Mike Shanahan likes doing rollouts and all, but this guy likes to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. So
he does.
And running is basically the last option, from what I understand, what this kid does. So he's going to take some hits, and because he's such a slight type of guy, I think he's going to be doing a lot of work inside the pocket and just a little work on the fringes on the outside of the pocket. So just so he can avoid getting hit, because you know he's the number two pick, number 1A pick, whatever
yeah.
you want to say, and he's going to be a prime target just like Andrew Luck. So they're going to be looking to take the big time quarterback who got drafted out of the game. So.
Well, that's true, and the Redskins just picked Adam Gettis, guard, out of Iowa, which is, I don't know how that kid fell this low. Gettis is a very, very, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
he's a very good guard because he played alongside their left tackle. I can't remember the kid's name, but I believe the Steelers picked the left tackle out of Iowa.
Well, you got to believe that if it's from Iowa or Wisconsin, or
yeah.
somewhere like in the Midwest like that, these guys are well schooled in lineman technique.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like when J.J. Watt posted after the other center got picked, he's like, when you get a badger, you know you got a good talent, you know,
right.
which is true.
Right.
Any offensive lineman out of that area, you know, they're a mauler. That's where you know. The 49ers, they're getting all their linemen out of the Big Ten right now. That's what they're doing. They just drafted, like, I forgot who it was, but they've got a big, huge guy out of the Big Ten. I think it's like 320, 340, a guard. No, 320. And they still got Deuce Latuhi, because Latuhi signed with another team. But they've got a great deal of linemen, and they're building up for the run game. I actually like them getting Jermichael Finley. Who's my kid out of Oregon? The running back.
LaMichael James. LaMichael James. Excellent pick
by the 49ers. Yeah. I mean, that was a beast move on my part.
Wait a minute. Why do you say? And I'm curious because I have a hard time. Taking that in because this guy is very small. He's a Darren Sproles type. Maybe that's why.
Exactly.
Because they have Kendrick, 1,800
yards in the run and gun offense, Jerry.
3 years in a row. The reason why I say it's a good move is because Dixon needs a push. Dixon's a good back, but he knows that he's the heir apparent to Frank Gore. And when they went out and signed Brandon Jacobs, that ate into his runs. So they got LaMichael James to be a kick returner so Kyle can, you know, have some help back there, as well as be a third down specialist. They're going to use him like they use Sproles. Now, don't let the 49ers fool you. Yeah, they're a run team first. But when you get Mario Monningham, Randy Moss, you got Crabtree. You got Vernon Davis. They're setting up to be the Saints of the West with that offense. They're going to pound you, and then when they feel like they want to throw, they're just going to spread you out and throw the ball. It's going to make Alex Smith look like he was the rightful choice to be a number one draft pick. I mean, if you think about it, LaMichael James ran a spread offense in Oregon. What did Alex Smith run? Pretty much the same. You put them in there, and you let that big offensive line move people around, they're going to be a team to deal with for the next 5 to 6 years. The Harbaugh boys know how to build teams and coach them. I'm just telling you, I thought it was a good move.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to get into next. I wanted to get into who do you guys think had some of the best moves made. We've got about 10 minutes left of live air. So I want to get this done, and we don't have to go to overtime. But, Black, all honesty, who do you think had the best moves thus far in the NFL draft?
I like the first round steal that the unfortunate Super Bowl champion, Jared Bird, picking up my guy from Deep Tech in the last part of the first round. Overall draft wise?
Yeah, that's fine.
I have to see the whole draft before I can get into all that. I need to see the rest of the picks.
Okay. Jerry, thus far, what do you think has the best draft so far?
Thus far, from what I'm seeing, they picked up two picks in the first round, which were two very good picks. I'm having to say it would be the hold on a minute here. I'm just going to verify something real quick. It would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number seven, they picked up Mark Barron, and then they moved down and picked up another first-round pick down in the
Yeah, they picked up Doug Martin, the running back.
Yeah.
They picked up number 31. They picked up Doug Martin in the number 31. And let me just look at the second round. But I would say
they picked up Levante David, the linebacker from Nebraska, in the second round with the 58th overall pick.
Yes, I like what the Buccaneers have done. I really like what they did. They moved up and down the board and gotten some nice quality players. Defensive wise, which they needed some run support help because they got gassed last year against the run. That's going to help them. With the two defensive.
And they also picked up Najee Good, inside linebacker from West Virginia, in the fifth.
Yeah, they just picked him up.
Right. So they're having a very good draft. They need a lot of help on the defense, and they picked up a good backup running back in Doug Martin behind them, and he may overtake him because he can do both. He's a three down back. He can block. He can catch the ball and he can run the ball. I love backs like that can three down backs. So the starting running back, and I can't believe LeGarrette Blount, who's very limited in his ability. He's just basically a running back. Is going to have some competition from a young boy from Boise State.
Okay.
I wonder if Kellen Moore goes in there to the Buffalo Bills.
I don't think so. I think Kellen Moore is going to be a free agent, just to be honest. I don't think he's going to get drafted.
Wow.
His body frame, he's only 190 pounds. He's 6'1". If he does get drafted, it'll be a seventh-round pick, in my opinion, because of his completion rate, because he is so accurate. But he needs to throw on like 20, 30 pounds. I'm not joking. To put up with the rigors of the NFL. Boise State, you play a bunch of cupcakes, and then you play maybe two or three real tough-nosed teams. In the NFL...
Oh, Buffalo goes with the big boy. Bree Sanders, 6'5", 320.
Was it left tackle?
Offensive tackle.
Yeah, thought so. I mean, you know, they're trying to do some things. But I think that... And I'm be honest here. I'm gonna be honest. I think Cleveland has had the best draft thus far for their needs. They pick up a running back and a sledgehammer in Trent Richardson, first round. They use their second first round pick to get a quarterback who I told you guys is going to be a very good quarterback, and he's going to go in there and start in Brandon Weeden. Then they turn around and get a nice offensive tackle out of California. Mitchell Schwartz, which, I mean, very good for them, especially in the second round. Then they get a defensive tackle, John Hughes, turn around and get an explosive, fast wide receiver out of Miami, Travis Benjamin, and they get an inside linebacker out of Nevada, James Michael Johnson. And they're coming up again in the fifth round shortly with the pick that they got from the Broncos. I think Cleveland... I mean, they're quietly doing big things. Now, granted, they got to play the Bengals twice, the Ravens twice, and the Steelers twice. But I think they're going to do pretty decently next year. This year, there'll be some growing pains. But I think the following year, the Browns are going to be pretty daggone tough to beat. I really think so. So that's... My take on who I feel
My concern with Cleveland is if Brandon Weeden gets hurt, how fast is he recovering?
Well, that's true. That's why you don't trade Colt McCoy yet, but Colt might demand a trade. You know how they told Colt, well, we're not going to draft a quarterback, and then they turn around and draft a quarterback in the first round. You know, so if they do trade Colt, who are they going to get to back up Brandon? And if they don't, will Colt be receptive to being that backup quarterback? So we'll see what happens. I think they need to get him another tight end, even though Hayden and Benjamin are good tight ends. You know, they need someone that's going to be a little bit more sure-handed. And there's a plethora of tight ends out there. Just got to find one. But that's my assessment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got 5 minutes left of live air on Fantasy Sports and Politics. And I want to thank my two co-hosts for coming on and doing what they do, Black the Bookie and Jeff, not Jeff the Joker, and Jerry ATM Taylor. So right now what I want to do is I want to promote the upcoming shows. So, Jerry, what's going on tomorrow on the Master Plan? Are you finishing up the NFL draft, or what are you doing?
Tomorrow, I'm going to review the NFL draft, and I'm going to be keying in on my the things I like to deal with the most are the running backs. I'm going to go over all the running backs in their respective teams and breaking down the good and bad points of where they landed at, and possibly get to what running backs that haven't been taken and where they may end up. We'll see. I have to wait and see what happens with the last Mr. Irrelevant to see who is going to be out there left that didn't get picked up. I'm really the guy didn't get picked up yet, and I'm trying to figure out if he is or not. No, I think he did. Lamar Miller got picked up, right? Something like that. The guy from Florida.
I have not heard his name.
Okay.
You can.
So we'll
let
see.
Me look him up.
I'll wait and see to see because I want. I love running backs, as you guys all know. I've always touted running backs one way or the other. So. That's what I'm going to be keen on next, the next master plan.
Okay. Kim's got stuff she's going to talk about. I'm not sure exactly what. But other than that, I do know I got you guys a guest for this upcoming Thursday. Did you guys want to talk about that or no? Lamar Miller got picked up by the Dolphins in the fourth round, second pick.
Okay. All right. You can talk about it. I don't have the guy's name in front of me, the doctor that's in front of me, but you can talk about
Solani.
It. Okay.
Solano. I apologize. Dr. Solano is a sports medicine doctor who practices in the D.C. area. He actually was listening in on this past Thursday and was very impressed with what you guys did and how the interview was conducted and things of that nature, that he reached out to me in an email and requested to come on the show. He provided his website and his bio is there and who he's dealt with and his background. Dr. Solano is going to come on and discuss sports medicine. I've requested that he talk about some of his former clients, some advice that he's giving to those that if he said, look, it's time for you to retire. Or it's time for you to leave. Hopefully he's willing to do that. I haven't checked my email yet. I know he sent me a response, but I don't know if that's what he's agreed to do or not. But he's actually trying to grow his business in the D.C. area, and he's going to come on and talk to you guys.
Okay.
He'll be handing out discounted knee surgeries.
Say again?
Discounted knee surgeries.
I don't know. You might have to ask him that, bro.
I would definitely use his assistance right now. I've been out of the gym for 2 months now. I have a bothersome knee, and I need some help.
Well, you got to talk to him. You got to talk to him. I don't know if you're on Dr. Andrews' level, but you got to talk to him.
I need you to send me his information. If you send it forward, send it to me again.
Okay, I'll send it to you guys again.
Okay.
But
I'm looking forward to that because that interview, and unfortunately Black was listening to it and wasn't able to jump in on it. That interview last week I think went well, and that was an excellent guest, Black. I have to admit that was the guy was on point. I really I was impressed with that guy.
All right. Well, again, Mac Williams, he's going to be coming soon to the airs. And once my wife and I hammer out some issues, you might hear us on relationships. My whole 10-year marriage might be on the air for everybody to hear. That's what I'm afraid of. But we'll see. Any party? Hey, we got 10 seconds left of live air, so you're going to get the parting shots and stuff in overtime. So any parting shots from you, Black, the bookie?
Oh, I need Mikal Moore to appear on this love and relationship show that will be coming up.
I'm not trying to have my entire family on the air, guy. I am not trying to do that.
Oh, well, let me tell you, if you and your wife get on the air, you will have your family on with you. So I'll just think about that. I'm not trying I'm just forewarning you. And I think it's an excellent move to do. I think it's I wouldn't be afraid of it whatsoever, because anytime
you have a master plan, then Jerry, bring up a master plan. I can't wait.
Anytime you have communication between husband and wife, any way, form or fashion, it enhances the relationship. So I wouldn't be afraid to put both of you on the air, because it can, in my opinion, only strengthen what you two got right now.
Stop trying to suck up, Jerry.
I'm not sucking. That's an honest opinion. I'm not trying to suck up. Trust me. You should know me by now. I'm not a suck up type of person. Trust me.
You're just an excellent.
Mix of Miami 330, Bernard Hopkins, Chad Dawson 2 tonight on HBO. And I made an excellent call in the Bowen Jones fight in UFC. Once I knew the UFC was backing this guy, it was all set up from the beginning.
He really beat him, dude. How can you set up? Did you see the fight?
No, I didn't watch the fight, but I did tell you the winner beforehand.
Dude, Bones Jones, for 5 rounds, elbowed the crap out of Rashad. Rashad Evans is a beast, but he couldn't deal with the length. I mean, every time, I'm going to tell you a breakdown real quick. Here's what happened. Rashad tried to get in. Rashad's a wrestler. He tried to shoot. He tried to shoot one time in 5 rounds. One time, okay? What he did was Jones would put his hands out, you know, try to keep him at bay, and Rashad, trying to get in, would try to clasp his hands with him and bring him in. What Jones did was he let him grab his hands, and as soon as he grabbed his hands, he hit him with short elbow after short elbow after short elbow because his hands were tied up. All he did was he let Rashad bring him in and just elbowed him to death for 5 rounds. And Rashad's whole right side of his face was swollen. He couldn't do nothing with him. So now they're saying that the next fight that they're going to put him in, Jones in against, is Dan Henderson. Now, Dan Henderson was the first the first person to hold the Pride middleweight and light heavyweight title at the same time. He was the first person to unify, I believe, the Pride and UFC belts. I think he fought Rampage, and I don't know if Rampage won or not. I got to look it up, but I think Rampage won. But he's known for that. Dan Henderson's big thing is his right hand. He's an Olympian wrestler with a right hand that knocks people out. He was in the UFC for quite some time after leaving Pride. Then the UFC fired him because he had lost a couple matches. He went to Strikeforce and dominated, and the UFC brought him back. So now they're trying to put him in there against against John Jones. By the way, his brother out of Syracuse was drafted by the New England Patriots, and his other brother already plays for the Baltimore Ravens. So you know this family's full of athletes. 3 boys. So, I'm just saying, Jones is the real deal. Real deal. But my party shot.
Don't forget about the local heavyweight champion aspiration from Mr. Seth Meltzer, who's on the undercard tonight as well.
All right. We'll see what happens. I know you didn't get a chance to get on that that list, but have you heard anything back from Mayweather and Cotto?
I haven't heard anything back yet. Still wait.
Well, fight's coming up in a couple of days, and Jerry's birthday's coming up in a couple of days as well, so I don't know if Jerry's going to be working his birthday with us or not, but we'll see. Jerry? That's a negative. Black, I need you next week, Slim.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. It's also the Kentucky Derby is that day,
yes.
And so my birthday the same day. I doubt if I'll be available for any cohesive conversation.
I understood that, but it's only 1 p.m. in the afternoon, Jerry. So you shouldn't start that early. You should, but if you do, I understand.
I'm part Mexican. I got to start that era.
Oh, my God. The racial views of Jerry Taylor are not those of FSP. Don't have enough of that with Mac on. Mac is, you know what? Mac is such a conservative, a black conservative. My wife was saying he's racist against his own people. She could hear the conversation he and I was having.
Mike, that's going to be a very interesting show. My man can go for hours on any subject.
Yes, dude. I talked maybe, we Skyped for like an hour and a half. I maybe talked 20 minutes of that. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Matt's a cool dude, man. He's a cool dude. I enjoy it. He can hold a whole show by himself. He don't need nobody. He can just talk.
Is that right?
He's very good. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's why I wanted to test him out with you to see if he can, because he's looking for a co-host. But, you know, his political views are so far right. I mean, he believes in O'Reilly, and he says he gets more real information. This is a real quote.
Wait a minute.
Let me tell you.
Tell me.
Yeah, that might have to be the show. I see the bias in Mac butting heads all day long.
Hold on, Black. He says he gets more real and legitimate information from Fox than any other network or outlet. All these other networks and outlets are just feeding the dummies what they want to hear. I tell you what.
I don't know how much correspondence you have with him, but I want him to call in tomorrow.
I told him to call in tomorrow, but he's at church. He might call in about 10:30. But I told him to call in. He's checked out the master plan and he likes it, so we're gonna see what happens.
Okay, because I can see that. I can see some fireworks in this one. You gotta be kidding me.
You have to be the co-host, man. You have to be the co-host.
Oh.
Yeah, if you got the time, if you want to do it on Sunday to work with the master plan on that, because I mean he can talk about everything, literally. He can talk about everything. But you know, politics. Oh my God, check this out. He don't agree with the Trayvon Martin thing. He says George Zimmerman. He thinks black people are wrong for acting the way they are, and I agree with him a little bit about Al Sharpton and stuff like
hell
that.
He got to call this man. Tell him to call me tomorrow.
Give Jerry, Mac's Twitter stuff so he can blow him up on Twitter.
He's hating on black people, and he's the same color? Oh, hell no.
Yeah,
hell no. He's hating on his own race? Come on, man. Wake up.
He says he's woken up, but everybody else is not. So
okay.
Mac is funny. Remember, he was on there with the Goodman League. He was. Remember, he was going Goodman versus what's the other league? Black Goodman versus
Drew League from California.
Yeah, Goodman versus Drew. That was Mac, the one that was on the line representing the Goodman League.
When you told me it was Mac Williams, I was saying that can't be the same guy that was talking about in the Goodman League, because he's involved with the Goodman League and he likes the right. What are you, crazy?
Hey, he's the one that was on here that my cousin was about to fight a couple weeks ago.
How old is he?
Mac is old school.
I think Mac is about 40, 45 maybe.
Okay. I know he's not that old, but he's older than us.
But yeah, dude. I'm telling you, it's gonna be something special.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk to this brother. I'm gonna try to enlighten him because he's definitely in the dark.
All right. Well, that's my parting shot promoting all this stuff.
Oh my God.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the Fantasy Sports and Politics show here on Saturday. It happens every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then you've got the Master Plan, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio.
10 a.m.
Oh, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then you got Compassion Zucchini at 4:30 p.m. on Tuesdays Eastern Standard Time. And you've got FSP Cruise Show every Thursday at 8 p.m. And depending on my wife and I can come to some type of agreement, on Fridays, you'll have our show. Maybe. We'll see about it.
Come on, man. Don't.
We got to find a time. We got to find the time.
Don't wimp out on me, man. Come on now. It sounds like you're the one that's wimping out. It sounds like your wife is all for it.
Silence.
I'm calling Mac Williams out. 10 a.m. tomorrow is the Master Plan. Come on that show, because I need to talk to you, my brother.
Oh, my God. And if we do our show, my wife and I, her first topic she wants to talk about, divorce. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
No problem. I'll call in the first show because I've been involved in that. Yes,
okay.
I do have experience.
Okay. I don't plan on it. She has, but I whatever.
Well, we could have a good
she's
been through there, right?
Yes, she has.
Oh, then we can relate and compare stories. I can guarantee it'll be a good show.
Yeah, okay. Now
I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Trust me, Vic. You got to trust your instincts here. Positive
right.
instincts, not negative.
We'll
roll with
we'll
it, man. You'll be all right. You'll be all right.
We'll
Trust
see.
Me.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is FSP. And, Jerry, you know what I need you to do, brother. Thanks, Black. Thanks, Jerry. But do it.
As always, from Vic, Mike, and myself, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.